Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the function and activity of divine truth in consciousness. Listen as we discuss how truth dispels ignorance or error in the same way light overcomes darkness. In this show, we will explain why Mary Baker Eddy wrote, "For Jesus to walk the water was scientific, insomuch as he was able to do this, but it is neither wisdom nor science for poor humanity to step upon the Atlantic until we can walk on the water." That's from Miscellaneous Writings, page 359, line 15. Listen as we explore the mental, material, good, and evil world of energy viewed from a spiritual perspective. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the protection of divine law. So the title of today's show is Revealing the Nothingness of Evil. Boy, all those words seem to have this need to be unboxed. Where do we start?
Yeah, at first it seems like a joke. There's no evil, just a sarcastic remark. We only have to look at the news, read a paper, go to a hospital to prove the statement wrong. Yet when you read the Bible, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:39, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Was he mad, or did he know a better way? Mary Baker Eddy tells us to make sure we know the principle before we trust it. Divine truth dispels error or ignorance in the same way light overcomes darkness. So let's look at this. How does light overcome darkness? Darkness isn't an opposing power to light. It is the absence of light. And therefore, evil isn't an opposing power to good, but the absence of good, which can be also understood as the absence of God or divine truth. Now, one thing as you start on this is you realize there's really not much power in the words. Just saying this stuff, even believing in it, doesn't go far enough. That this divine principle must be, as Mary Baker Eddy said, understood. We really have to live in divine truth. We have to know ourselves to be immortal and understand ourselves to be so. And how would you know that you had this divine truth in consciousness if you weren't proving it? And so when Mary Baker Eddy cautions humanity that to step off of the boat without being able to walk on water isn't wisdom or science, she's really trying to help us out. But by the same token, there's a lot that has to be in place before you're going to be able to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty.
Well, I'd like to talk about a couple of the words in the title, and the first one is the word revealing. And we've used that word a lot, like we would say in other shows, healing is a revealing. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, for divine science to work, you have to have a principle, the law, the rule, which is Divine truth is all. All is absolute goodness. And to be conscious of this is very different than thinking about it. But all healing is just the revealing of this divine creation, which is being veiled by the mental material concept, this world of energy, this good and evil world of form that we are accepting and thinking this is real. So we're basically hypnotized. We're in this dream state, and we believe we're finite mortal beings. And then to finally be awakened out of that false sense of consciousness has an evidence procedure. And that was the message of the Christ. Heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. Divine truth and consciousness dispels the false mental material concept about life. That's why in the Bible it's written, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're in the wrong self.
My other question has to do with the word nothingness or nothing. And here we said nothingness of evil. Now, earlier you said evil isn't an opposing power to good, but the absence of good. So in other shows, we have talked about, or in your teachings, we have talked about the void, the nothing, meaning spirit or God. So you're saying the nothingness of evil, does this mean there is no evil because God is all? Am I understanding that to be true?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're saying. In fact, when we use the labyrinth, know thyself, nothing in excess. Now, to mortal sense, we interpret that to be anything in moderation. But really what it means, nothing, the void, which is the omnipresent, invisible, intangible, divine principle of eternal life. Now, this divine principle does not report in the material mind. Therefore, it appears as nothing. But it's the nothing out of which everything comes. It's not just the absence of something. The divine creation is functioning. It's right here and it's right now. That's why in her paper, Body, Mary Baker Eddy makes the statement, for those who have eyes to see. Once we come out of our mortal sense of self and we stop forming thoughts and opinions based on the information coming through the material senses, and we've activated spiritual sense, once we have attained this resurrection consciousness, and we are now seeing things the material senses do not see, then we pierce through the veil, and we now know the truth. And you know the truth because you're experiencing the absolute goodness of the divine principle. And that's where I find a lot of times you have people saying that they're spiritually awakened, and yet they're still dealing with problems. They're still working out their salvation, which for me, it kind of comes down to a lot of times we identify these lesser experiences with true mystical states of being. The term in Kriya Yoga is avidya, ignorance. We're still living in sin, so to speak. We aren't living under the influence of the divine principle. We're still being individualized by the world mind. But we think we're spiritual because we've maybe had experiences where we've changed finite bad to finite good. But that's really not going far enough.
Well, can we talk a moment about the Mary Baker Eddy quote that we have in the summary when she talks about Jesus walking on the water was scientific? So can you break that down for us?
Yeah, divine science isn't guesswork. It is a law. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. And when we are conscious of it, then consciousness is experience. It externalizes as the divine image and likeness. How we think is what we become. Divine truth in consciousness is a reliable, dependable force, and it comes through conscious awareness of it. It's not just blind faith. It's not just belief in the goodness of God. It is a knowing of a principle. And your understanding of this outer world of sense, this false sense of existence, and this spiritual fact of being become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. That's why this idea of we have to come out of the false sense of self before we can be receptive to the truth.
So we have here something from Herb Fitch, and he tells us of the unreality of evil. And I believe we have a soundbite from him from the Realization of Oneness, Class 3B.
Yeah, and if anybody's interested in the full audio file, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
When we're told there's no God in an evil, and God is life, there's no life in an evil. Isn't that amazing that there can be no life in an evil? There can be a whole nation at war, and there's no life in that evil. What can that possibly mean? Isn't that the nothingness of mortal form? If there's nothing, no life in a war, no life in the people carrying on the war, you see the momentity of the statement? We can be thankful that there is no God in any evil besetting mankind. He's also saying there's no mankind, let alone the evil. Because if somebody's going out there with a sword to gouge somebody, where is there no life? In just a sword? Or in the man about to do the gouging, or in the man about to get it? There's no life in any of it. You can't just take a little piece out and say, this is the part without the life. You see how the statement is veiled. There's no God in any evil besetting mankind. People would be willing to agree that God isn't in those evils. The medical profession, for example, would say, well, that's true, God isn't in this evil. But they won't go so far as to say, because God isn't in this evil, the evil isn't here. And we must go that far. Some of us must be prepared to demonstrate that it isn't here. In our own lives, in the lives of those around us, and whoever may come to you and say, I feel a light in you that can help me. There is no God in any evil. And this is the statement that evil is non-existent. When we have removed God from them, we have removed the substance from them. They begin to destroy themselves. They begin to dissolve. When you remove God from any evil, you have removed its substance. But how can you do that? How do you remove God from an evil? By the knowledge that God isn't in that evil, that it has no life. But can you say it has no life and still fear it and still try to dodge it and still try to overcome it, or do you resist not? If it has no life, are you going to resist it and thereby believe it does have life? Now, what is an evil? Not just a horrible man making a face at us. An evil is a condition that is unlike God. Some condition that you would normally want to get rid of. And you find now through this revelation that there's nothing to get rid of except the belief that you have such an evil. Why? Because God isn't in the evil. God is in you as your life. The only reason that was evil to you is because you had not been in the consciousness that you are divine life.
Yeah, it certainly takes a little getting used to this idea of educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. But eventually you start to realize there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. And you stop sowing to the flesh, and what was invisible and intangible before is now bigger than life itself.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, it seems like Herb Fitch is really wanting us to learn how to rest in this understanding that a mortal life is the only fact of reality.
Yeah, and to continue with the lesson, we have another soundbite from Realization of Oneness, Class 14B, and I'll play this.
When we did the chapter No End, there were certain selections not discussed, and they're going to be our prelude to the selections taken from Resting in Oneness. Now, these are from No End. They're important because Christ, standing at the tomb of Lazarus, is saying, only God is. There's no God and a dying Lazarus. There's no God and a lack. There's no God and a disease. There's no God and anything but God. There's no God and a mind that perceives iniquity. In our awareness of the Christ life, there's no God and. All that can exist is that which is divine. All that can exist are the qualities of divinity. We don't have to make them become here. We don't have to make them function. That is all that exists now. And in your acceptance of identity, that is all that exists to you. So, what are you still seeking? If you're still seeking, Lazarus isn't liberated in your consciousness. If there's a you that still seeks, that should be a sign to you that you're stepping out of identity. The Son of God has nothing to seek. The Son of God accepts. There is no God and. But don't you see, it's not just a matter of hiding from the things that you want and saying, I don't want them or I don't need them. It far transcends that. In the acceptance that I am the Son of God, you are given the priceless truth that all that the Father hath is yours. The life of Lazarus, who was dead, was not visible, but it was there. All that the Father hath is not visible, but it is here. And it comes forth when you are that life. When you are not separating yourself from that life and insisting that there is a life that you are which needs something. The life of God needs nothing. You see the opportunity when you can know that you are the life of God? When you need something, you're denying yourself to be that life. You're dividing yourself from it. You're in the mind that does not know the life of God, and therefore it seeks something. Stop your seeking. Stand ye still. No, but I am the life of God, and all that the Father hath is mine. It must be invisibly present, just as the life of Lazarus was present where the world thought him dead. All that I have sought is present right here where my human mind cannot perceive it or experience it.
Yeah, and to continue a little bit further with this lesson, I have something else from Realization of Oneness 14b, and I'll read it. This call is from a woman who is in the human mind, and she's suffering from it, And in that human mind, she has a false sense of self. And that's what she's suffering from. She doesn't know she's the child of God right now. End of quote. Evil is the absence of divine truth, but we must be conscious of divine truth to dispel the false sense of evil. How do I know what I'm calling divine truth is divine truth? Well, the answer is it dispels evil. And until we are conscious of divine truth, we walk defenseless among these false evil forces that seem to kill us.
Swami, I was reading this morning from Joel S. Goldsmith, a book entitled Consciousness Unfolding. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. And he says, "It is a conscious process which takes place in your consciousness. And whatever takes place in your consciousness will externalize itself in your experience." End of the quote. And I like that because it kind of dovetails everything that we've been saying, and especially the phrase that we use, consciousness is experience.
Yeah, exactly. We can use experiences to determine what we are conscious of. What reveals the nothingness of evil? The omnipresence of divine truth dispels the false appearance of the mental material concept or recreation. There isn't a mental material universe in the light of spiritual truth. Spirit is one, it is all in all, and it is absolute goodness without opposite. Just like you can't have darkness and light in the same place, there can't be personal sense and divine truth in the same place. Spirit can't be divided or adulterated in any way. Spirit is all, and never affected by the mental material world of energy. The human experience is what Mary Baker Eddy called animal magnetism, which is a hypnotic state driven by a belief in two powers, the prodigal out of the father's house, the branch cut from the vine, a mind unconscious to the divine principle.
So, Swami, how do we begin to overcome this belief in two powers?
Yeah, we start with the principle, life is perfect. The divine creation under the divine law of absolute eternal life. At first, we believe. Belief is the level playing ground because we believe in the mortal false sense of the mental material dream of life. Shift awareness from the testimony of the five material senses and become aware of the invisible, intangible divine omnipresence, which never reports in the mortal mind. Stop thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on material sense, and watch, wait, listen, let, trust. The silence and stillness of divine revelation will reveal the nothingness of anything and everything unlike absolute goodness. Or as Herb Fitch said in Realization of Oneness 14b, rest in yourself and the false sense of self relinquished reveals that all error was only in that false sense of self, end of quote.
So just for clarification of what you just read by Herb Fitch, when he says rest in yourself, and he means self with a capital S, is that correct?
Yeah, he's talking about the divine self, the one perfect life, the changeless state of being, eternal life.
And then the false sense of self was self with a small s. That means our concept of our material bodies, right?
Right. The mental material world that is being created by the mind, which is not conscious of the divine creation, and is recreating and making its world of opposites. It's completely out of the Father's house.
Well, I think we have some other symbolism from the Bible that we can use to kind of help explain what it is that we're talking about. Did you want to discuss the resurrection of Lazarus?
To use the symbolism of the resurrection of Lazarus to help us understand what we are doing, I'll unbox it. Lazarus is the purified human consciousness. Martha is the physical appearance of matter and belief we call body. Mary is the form and concept we call finite mortal mind. Jesus is Christ, the saving aspect of truth. The sisters write Jesus to alert him, symbolizing a stirring in the mind-body complex seeking the divine self. Lazarus is put in the tomb. The false sense of self must be buried in the silence and stillness of divine revelation before Christ can come to the purified human consciousness. Martha greets Jesus. Matter and belief are attuned to the divine idea. Martha goes within and gets Mary. Form and concept are attuned to the divine idea. Martha and Mary reveal Lazarus to Jesus, and Christ comes to Lazarus and calls the purified consciousness out as the risen Christ. The joining of spirit with truth brings the light of divine truth, revealing the nothingness of anything unlike divine perfection. And on a very simple level, we train the mind to serve spirit, and we train the body to serve the mind with that spiritual image internalized.
Now, I know we've been talking a lot about Lazarus, and I find that what's very interesting is the Lazarus that goes into the tomb is not the same Lazarus that comes out of the tomb. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, the caterpillar goes into the chrysalis and comes out a butterfly. When you put the mortal sense of self in the tomb, it is the Christ that emerges. The ascended consciousness, spiritual identity, where you are no longer separate, but you are one with the divine creative principle. In fact, Herb even points out when they first rolled back the stone, there was this odor that was coming out, and then it was never mentioned again. As he stepped out of the tomb and he was in the grave clothes, there was no more mention of any odor. The idea of a transformation must happen. It's not just an academic, intellectual accomplishment. There must be tangible evidence, because when you are in your soul body, it must be different than your corporeal material body.
So Swami, so once again, Jesus demonstrates the nothingness of this belief that we have, in this case, the death of Lazarus.
Yeah, that's the message of the Christ, to prove the nothingness of the entire mortal sense of existence, which is a false sense of existence.
Well, it's that time to end our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, if you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can select to further your understanding. And with that, Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the protection of divine law. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.